Hey, what's up, guys? Happy Wednesday. Welcome to a brand new installment of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today brought to you by our good friends at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, iamenscenter.com. Go on and check them out. It's always vasectomy season, whatever you want it to be.
That's what I always say.
That's Rob Gray, senior writer's catchphrase.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a t-shirt with the Iowa Clinic Men's Center logo that says it's always vasectomy season.
Yep. I'll say hi. Hey, it's always vasectomy season.
They pay you millions of dollars to walk around saying that.
Yes, they do.
My guy Doc Mickelson, I talk about him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's you know, we're partners with the Iowa Clinic, and he's my guy. And I always enjoy going. He's a younger guy. It's kind of cool for me being 30 to have a doctor who's around my age. It makes me feel kind of old because usually you think of doctors being like 70.
Yeah, true.
The old doctors back home. My old doctor Zare, yeah, was his name. He was like a dinosaur. He had all the old school techniques, but these Iowa Clinic Men's Center guys, I mean, they're,
yeah,
they got it down.
Cutting edge.
Yeah. Ottumwa, how was it yesterday, Rob? Beautiful?
It's a gorgeous Des Moines river town. I'll tell you what, it's like all river towns since commerce is, you know, a lot less than it used to be on there. Like on the Mississippi, there's the rusting, decaying part of it, but there's a really cool vibe in parts of Ottumwa. It's kind of cool by the river there.
This
Bridgeview Center we were at was right on the river.
Did you witness any crime?
I did not witness any crime. I did witness a lot of crime when I visited Ottumwa as a youth.
Were you with Tom Arnold?
There was a big melee in Ottumwa from the waterfront. I think the place was called the Waterfront or something.
You witnessed a melee?
There was organized crime was involved.
Oh, like drugs?
No. Some other organized crime.
Prostitution.
I believe that there were some at this. I'm not going to name the place. And people were dancing. I'm dating myself, but there was a great Mel Brooks movie where they had a fight that spills all throughout the movie set. It comes off what the movie actually is and into all the movie sets and into this dance stuff and all
like
this.
Like it's a real fight?
It's a real fight in terms of the film.
Oh, okay. Like the actors just like snapped and got really mad.
It was funny as hell. Okay. But in Ottumwa, it sort of was too, but it was scary at the same time because the fight just spilled all across town and we were just visiting a college friend who happened to be from Ottumwa. And we're thinking, okay, we'll have a few drinks, look for, some companionship and not the other way, I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Do some dancing. And, old rivalries flared and this fight just spilled out across Ottumwa.
I've been to Ottumwa once. People are going to make fun of me for this. So, I used to be a theater major. When I first got to Iowa State, I thought I was going to be like an actor.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of my thing. And I believe it was my senior year of high school. I went to a theater seminar, like a 2-day, it wasn't a camp, it was actually like you paid decent money and you worked with like real professionals and it was a deal to kind of get your feet wet with the business, right?
Yep.
It was the Tom Arnold Acting Academy or something like that. Spent a couple nights in Ottumwa.
Nice.
Now, I look back at it now and it's like, damn, like I owe my parents some real money for spending whatever they spent on crap like that, but you learn.
Tom Arnold,
yeah,
he is the acting what the Cheeto is to nutrition.
I see you listen to Sports Fanatics.
Yes, well, I was on.
You had a great line yesterday, the one liner on the Cheeto.
The what was it? The projectile of doom.
God, it was great. Tweeted. Andrew grabbed that and tweeted it. Really,
it really, really is, and I do agree. It's tasty. You put I'm a very health conscious guy, but I'm also very, even though it's not a politically correct term, schizophrenic in that way. That if I junk food, I love, but you see, I've you know, middle-aged guy, try to be more health conscious.
You look
conscious
great, Rob.
Most of the time. Well, thank you. I'm trying to take care of myself a decent amount.
Oh man, you look amazing.
Thanks. But you put a bag of Cheetos in front of me, a pizza. I mean, it's not going to stop. I'll look at it and I'll say that stuff is the worst stuff ever concocted by man. Take a bite, the big crunch, and go, whoa, that tastes pretty good.
You know who else looks amazing? It's Jamie Pollard after that heart surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Looks pretty good.
He did, yeah. I mean, and he was energetic.
He was awfully spry yesterday.
Indeed.
What was your reaction when Pollard was asked, I believe Travis Hines from mm-hmm. the Ames Tribune, friend of the podcast, friend of ours, asked him, correct me if I'm wrong. I was not there. You were. Travis asks Jamie Pollard, do you believe Fred Hoiberg will be the head coach next year? And Jamie's response was, I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
What's going through your mind throughout this Jamie Pollard meeting with the media?
Well, Jamie always impresses me with how frank he is, you know, whereas a lot of people will hold stuff close to the vest in fear, I think, of saying something that is going to be misinterpreted or perhaps even improperly conveyed, which I don't think any of us did in terms of the conveyance part of it. But everything you say is open to huge amounts of interpretation. And if you get an answer like, I hope so, really, what other answer could he give, though?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's most of that stuff, if not all, has been out there. We know that Fred would love to coach an NBA team. It intrigues him, as Jamie put it. I mean, he's been involved in the NBA as a player and obviously the front office. We all know this. So none of that stuff was new, but you hear the words, I hope so, when you're talking about next season.
Yeah.
And, you know, your eyebrows just kind of go up. But then I kind of look at his shoes and I say, what are you going to say? Because he's always a guy that is – he even threw in the line that I'm not even sure any of us would put in there just because, you know, you have so much room to do what you're doing and fit the narrative. But something like – and there's no guarantee – that when he feels the time is right for him, it's going to be the right time for another team or this or that. You know what I mean?
I've got a friend, source, whatever you want to call it, who's in the NBA,
mm-hmm.
who's kind of said the same thing to me all along with Fred. It's not every general manager wants Fred to be their next head coach.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Let's take New Orleans, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's that's an intriguing job to anybody with Anthony Davis.
Sure.
But would that GM specifically want Fred over Tom Thibodeau? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, that was my point to that column I wrote last week was, you know, this – well, there were multiple points to it. One, it was, man, I don't understand as a Bulls fan why they're firing this guy. I think Thibodeau's a top five coach mm-hmm. in the world. I have that much respect for him.
Mm-hmm.
But two, like the team has to want Fred too. And when all the dust settles after the season, they're with these jobs, a lot of these jobs, there are going to be world-class coaches lining up wanting them.
Yep.
And I know Fred's on all these lists. Will he be the guy? He wasn't the guy with the Celtics a few years ago. Brad Stevens was.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't the guy last year with Golden State. Steve Kerr was.
Mm-hmm.
Second or third on a lot of these lists. And so it makes the Bulls' job scary is the Gar Foreman connection and all the smoke that's been out there. But I was kind of glad yesterday happened, honestly, to fit the – we're not creating this.
Yeah.
I think there's an emotional side of the fan base out there that believes that – not necessarily cycling fanatic, but the entire media is creating the story. It's a real story. And when Pollard said, I hope so, to me it validated this is a real deal. And I think everything with Iowa State, I truly think this, is standing still until this is put to rest.
Yeah,
it's difficult. Why, if you're a graduate transfer, why would you go to Iowa State right now if you don't know who's going to be the coach?
Yeah, that's a great point. And yeah, for those, are there instances in which certain segments of the media simply try to stoke something to create more interest in their publication, their website? Of course there are. That's true of any business. It's true of most organizations. In this case, as you said, I mean, there's serious smoke around this. When national people, on an annual basis, bring up Fred Hoiberg's name whenever there are NBA openings, when the people that, you know, have them run the Cyclone Fanatics of the world that are around certain NBA teams put his name on their lists.
Yes.
You know, and all that stuff is out there. Is it really, first of all, it's journalism 101 that people then locally look at that, people like us who cover Iowa State athletics, and say, here's what they're saying nationally. We'd better start asking people around the program what truth there is to this, what's more of the backstory to it, what's more of the detail to it, information surrounding it. That's journalism 101.
Correct.
It's not trying to generate click views. I mean, I could see if Cyclone Fanatic just ignored completely that there are any overtures at all.
Yes.
If Bill Simmons had ever said anything about Fred Hoiberg possibly, you know, how many of the people would then say, oh yeah, you're just ignoring that. In fact, it's all over the news, but you must not want it to happen.
We're
so
just
it's
covering up for the program.
Exactly.
We're homers.
Yeah.
But now we're
driving Fred away.
Here's what I ask. If anybody out there thinks that we are, specifically with Brent Bloom's column yesterday, myself, you, anybody, at Cyclone Fanatic is driving for clicks, look at our track record. That's all I ask. If you look at our track record, look at mine specifically. I started doing this in 2004, not Cyclone Fanatic. Because you haven't really been killed too much. You just reported what Pollard said. Bloom caught a handful yesterday. I caught a ton of heat a week ago. Have we ever embellished? If you think we have a track record of that, you have a right to your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, I'd like to think that you come to our website because you trust our reporting and our commentary.
And your analysis. You give both sides. And Brent's was a very measured. I mean, I thought it was, here it is. This is, again, an example of people, and I think I mentioned it on the radio show yesterday, they latch on to something, and if it fits what is spinning in their mind at that moment, that one part of it is going to be greatly magnified. Mm-hmm. And any other things you say, but on the other hand, is forgotten, or it's discarded.
Yes.
And all that is there is that one thing that's screaming in front of their eyes. You know, it's somewhat of a natural human tendency to do that.
Yes.
But
that was a great point you made.
I appreciate that. It's good to take a step back. It's hard sometimes. See, as a middle-aged guy, it's kind of easier to do that sometimes. You learn that. Because when I was 20, I couldn't take a step back from anything. But you just it's good, word of the wise kind of deal.
I hear you.
You can take a step back and say, all right, but this is being said here, this is being said here. Look at it on balance. Try to see the big picture versus the one thing that hits that button for you. That makes your smoke come out of your ears.
You'd be proud of me. You've had this talk with me that I need to chill out a lot of times.
Hmm?
That pretty little 3-month-old has allowed me to shut my phone on silent about 8 o'clock every night, which I at one point didn't know was possible.
How often do you end up checking it just in case?
Right now a lot.
Yeah.
But
you got to something. I mean, this is a job that requires it.
It's not a job for me. It's my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That sounds maybe bad, but I think anybody who's passionate about what they do.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Yeah. I mean, it's your baby and, particularly around this site and, checking things every now and then. The important thing is, though, I mean, you get perspective when you get a kid or two or some people with more.
When she's smiling and giggling at me, it doesn't matter who the Iowa State basketball coach is.
Yeah.
She's going to be smiling and giggling a lot more if it's Fred Hoiberg. Hey, basically we wait. I wrote it last week, and I mean it. And if Fred Hoiberg were on here with us right now, I'd tell him, man, like, I know you don't want to put out some statement because I get all those reasons. If you're coming back, you need to tell everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I don't think it's Jamie Pollard's job
no.
to do that. And if you don't, like, then he's probably playing it right. But that's what makes me convinced there's a lot. And we're talking to people. There's noise, people. This is not us just creating these. When you have the athletic director saying that publicly, mm-hmm. there's noise here. So we'll see what happens. Bulls, Cavs on Thursday. I think Thibodeau gets fired the day or two after the Bulls lose. I think that they'll lose on Thursday. I hope they extend this thing. I think the longer this thing goes, the better chance Fred is back mm-hmm. at Iowa State. Plus, I have this 5-year anniversary trip, and there's some other family stuff going on to Chicago with my wife over the weekend, and I could just totally see, like, the Bulls job being fired and then just massive amount of work to be done. Not necessarily like Fred takes the job, or I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the day – Thibodeau gets fired, you know that it's at this point it gets nuts.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. So you talked to Paul Rhodes too.
Yeah.
Let's go to some good news. Kid I really like. I really like his family. Enjoyed covering Jake Knott. Really love his mom and dad. His mom Laura brings Tron and I cookies before football games. So I have to thank Mrs. Knott, who's a loyal listener to the podcast, for this. Pouch, I've got a
great family.
Yeah. It sounds like Luke's going to give it a go in 2015.
Yeah, and that was refreshing news, because every step of the way to where I believe I had just kind of asked at one point, hey, how's he doing? And then it got to that point of if he could start, he could decide to shut it down and not play again. That was like, whoa, that's how severe it is. But with the couple of hip surgeries and then facing – this deal, which turned out to be as Rhodes told me and Randy Peterson, that it was an injection assumed to alleviate the pain associated with having all the restructuring, the surgeries. He's responded well to it, to the point where he wants to give it a go. Whereas,
so is the problem solved or is the pain masked?
I don't think this is just me speculating. I think it's going to be an ongoing thing. I asked Rhodes, does this look like an ongoing thing? And he said, as a guy who's battled back pain his whole life, probably an ongoing thing, meaning it's something he's going to deal with.
So what can Luke handle?
Yeah. And also, you know, while being concerned about what if something else structurally were to happen, you've already had these surgeries and all that. So between the pain and between the concerns about wanting to, of course, be able to walk your whole life without being in severe pain or even walk, period. And again, I'm just adding, I don't know, the walking and all that.
I get it.
I'll say a really tough kid, a kid that, if you want to say, maximized his potential. I mean, he'd moved around. Remember, he was a quarterback. They tried him at safety, got to linebacker, made tackles, nose for the football, just like Jake.
He just never had that size.
And just hasn't had quite the size. But he'd still made plays, third leading tackler last year. And
couldn't he have played to – don't you think he had a better career for him if he's at, like, nickel or maybe a strong safety?
Excuse me.
I feel like the roster situation dictated him to go to linebacker, and he just never had the body to sustain 12 games at that position.
Yeah, it's possible. I remember in the past, and I can't remember when, asking Rhodes about how he spent a little bit of time there, and I just think they felt it wasn't the right fit in terms of his coverage.
Oh, okay.
Necessarily. Not that it, you know, and the fact that he could get in there, use his knowledge and his nose for the football at linebacker, have his, handed so many things that are going on, would be more beneficial to the team that way. But I mean, it's worth asking, because his body fits that what you described very, very well, physical stature wise. But we're talking about all this other stuff. But the good news is maybe it is something they can manage pain management over time, and maybe over time it actually, you know, gets somewhat better. And of course, the most important thing is for him to be happy about it. You know, if he'd wanted to walk away from football, he obviously would have. But to give it a go, I mean, that's, again, a testament to the kind of toughness we've seen from the Knotts over several years.
Other football nugget was well, two things. I saw Bobby Legesse from the Ames Tribune, something about the satellite camps. Did you see? Were you a part of that? Or
it was a little bit. You know, here's the deal with the satellite camps. You have to be, you're supposed to be pretty vague about it.
Mm-hmm.
That there are some leagues, I believe the SEC is one of them, which teams are not allowed to participate in satellite
camps.
Correct.
Because this was a big deal with Jim Harbaugh was trolling those SEC schools by holding satellite camps like in Alabama and stuff.
Now, what sounds like what Iowa State's going to do is poke on it some places as just kind of joining the camp.
Okay.
Coaches would be there. But it was also nebulous to me. I mean, they were a little bit murky. That I didn't really throw it into the report because, again, the main stuff was what Pollard said yesterday. But, yeah, I was there when they talked about that. And I would think, you know, if you can get in more camps versus the usual ones you're just holding in Ames and have a presence, whether it be a teaching presence or a presence in which, you know, yep, obviously it's a teaching presence, but you're visible, that would be nothing but good. You know, it obviously adds work and logistic, not – issues, but I mean, you know, more planning you got to do, more shuffling you got to do. But yeah, I don't really know. Is there anything you were, you know, musing about regarding the satellite camps?
No, or? I like Jim Harbaugh a lot.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be like on my like Art Briles type list.
Okay.
When it's all said and done, I admire
him. They both wear their khakis well.
They do. They both are out. I love him.
Yeah.
And I've been following what he's been doing. And I didn't even click on Bobby's report. I just haven't had time. I've got it saved in my reading list. And I was curious what Rhodes had to say about that. And then Sheldon Crony shot himself.
Yeah.
Now, the good news, it was just like in his hand, right?
Yeah. Apparently
what,
his hand.
What happened?
Well, from what the reports that I've seen, and obviously we know what my summers are like, fairly light and all that, but from the reports that I've seen, he was at a friend's house, and friend's father had a handgun, was not apparently secured anywhere. Either that or maybe the friend.
So we can get into a conversation about politics.
Yeah, to put away. Yeah, and we don't need to. And... I think in the police report it said he manipulated the firearm and it discharged in his hand or something, and it was probably just handling it.
But he's okay.
It. Yeah, Rhodes said yesterday that Coach Sturdy, who I believe was the primary guy.
Yeah, he's a California
recruit,
guy.
Yeah, yeah. Recruiting Crony had been in contact with him quickly once and was aware of the situation immediately. So Rhodes wasn't, you know, facing this, oh, my, here, hey, Coach, one of your recruits was shot. It was, okay, here's what happened. He's okay. But, you know, it was probably, you know, couched in such a way that it wouldn't cause undue stress. Of course, you don't want that to happen to anyone. But he said about 6 weeks recovery.
He won't play
next year.
A
little bit of work after that. I can't imagine when you were kind of a long shot guy to come in and help that inexperienced backfield while your hand's healing, getting acclimated to being in college. The classes haven't started yet, but...
Yeah, I don't think he would have played anyways, but this probably...
Yeah.
The kid from Georgia is now
it
much...
It enhances his chances of getting in there in the mix, and somebody's got to be in... I mean, even if Tyler Brown shocks the world and is the second coming of Alexander Robinson or Mike Warren, who I know heard great things about in terms of what he does as well.
I really actually... I'm really... tough with expectations for this year, but I really like both of those guys. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're ready right now, but I think both of those guys could have pretty good careers.
Yeah. Brown was so slippery, and he was smaller last year, and he had a decent yard per carry average. Granted, he was in mop-up some of the time, but it wasn't all the time.
I thought, too, just – I went down on the field in the spring game, and I'm kind of I'm becoming you the older I get, Rob. I'm taking a hobby to photography.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought a nice camera, and I'm trying to do some more in-house photos with Cyclone Fanatic. And, you know, I was down there. Tyler Brown in pads.
Mm-hmm.
He looked bigger.
Yeah.
Like, I think he had a decent little winter in the weight room from what I've heard. Yeah, listen, I don't know. I don't know how good he's going to be. I mean, with these guys, I truly think if you give him a decent offensive line and the passing game that we're expecting, any of them could run. I mean, running backs are you know, the value of a running back in the game of football is dropped off significantly. But I think both of those guys could, if the right team is around them, I think they could be okay.
Yeah. Well, I think they could be better than okay. But again, all those pieces have to be in place, and we haven't seen them recently. I think that passing game could be so good. I hope it doesn't become we have to establish the run every game. I think it has to be we have to get down and score every game and use the run to our advantage whenever we can. I don't know. I'm always.
No, I get it.
I'm always a little bit perplexed by coaches on teams that have struggled, to put it mildly, to run the ball effectively for years, deciding we have to establish the run when you have, I think three potential all-conference wideouts.
Big dudes.
You've got a quarterback who tied or set records last year and went healthy, certainly can sling it, and but this running ability can definitely keep teams honest as you can hit guys out of the back. I think the biggest thing for Brown and Warren sometimes will be catching passes out of the backfield.
At some point, are you just pass to set up the run?
Yeah. I mean, that's – and maybe you just don't want to say that because you don't – but, I mean, gosh, it's been around the game forever. I mean, you can go back to the 70s, 80s with Eric Coryell at the San Diego Chargers with Dan – I mean – you knew it. They were gonna pass. All right. You were gonna have to try to stop their passing game, and then they'll run it.
Pass blocking's easier than run blocking.
And it is, yeah, for younger guys. And if you just have a big guy, it's a lot easier to pass block than run block.
Talking about
you don't
my
have to
boy
get
Wendell.
You don't have to get downfield.
My guy Wendell.
Was it a beast? I can't remember what it was. Jay Campo said about him, but
I love Wendell Tyese.
He's
done nothing at Iowa State, but I continue to love him.
With what we heard this spring, I mean, I hope it's not another Bob Graham where Tom Farniak was raving about Bob. Bob had a lot of injury issues.
Yeah,
so
poor Bob.
But
Bob got a degree, though.
God bless him.
Yeah.
God bless him.
Bob Graham's a good example of why you shouldn't just be able to kick guys off your roster when they get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't his fault.
Exactly. And it seemed like he was a guy that was good for everybody around him.
Yeah, everybody liked him.
Cared. Good guy. Nice-looking young man.
That's weird for you to say. But.
Kerry used to say that all the time.
Oh, did he?
Good-looking left-hander.
Hey, speaking of that, I'm going to Wrigley on Sunday.
You are?
Never been to Wrigley before. Well, I am.
I haven't been for a long time.
Unless all this Hoiberg crap continues to.
I'm going to the Iowa Speedway on Sunday.
Oh, man. See, I didn't realize.
I'm working.
Oh, you freelancing for the Register?
NASCAR.
Oh, NASCAR.
NASCAR wire services. Yeah.
That's a good gig. They pay well, don't they?
That is a good gig. They pay about as well as anybody.
I believe that I passed that gig up last year and gave it to you, and now they have not called me because you do such a nice job. Do you remember that?
Was it last year? Had you done it for them before?
No, they had called me.
Oh, okay.
I think it was because I was doing all that NASCAR columns for the Register.
Mm-hmm.
They call, and I was like, no, I was on vacation, and I gave them you, and you stole my gig. But you're way better at it than I would be. I would be like writing like opinions.
But you know the sport more than I. Yeah, you would have been adding like,
I'd have been like, this is BS, a terrible caution. You know, like
Chase Elliott should have won.
Yeah, they would have fired me after one race. They got the right guy. No, I didn't realize that the race was this week. Now it wouldn't change. I'd still go to Chicago with my wife, but I don't miss. I don't miss many main events at the Iowa Speedway. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. And I'm not writing about it anymore. Like I'm done writing about racing because I want to have fun with it. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
You make that stuff work and it's not fun anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was actually really disappointed that I'm not going to be able to go out and watch my guy Chase. But
he won't win anyway. So,
doesn't the six car, the Roush car, always win? I don't even know who drives it this year, but like Trevor Bayne and Ricky Stenhouse, they strung like five of six together at Newton, something like that.
Yes, yeah, Newton's been very, very good to Stenhouse.
I think Ryan,
Knoxville was not very good to Stenhouse.
I think
he
Ryan
was still on the sprint car there, you know.
Yeah, I do remember that. I think Ryan Blaney is going to be on my show later this week.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good. What about Russ Hall, the Knoxville 360 driver?
No, that's not happening. I just found out today Brian Brown is going to be on with us.
Okay.
At 5:30. So.
Brian's always a good quote. Hell of a racer.
Casey's Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta love it.
Don't pigeon. I know Casey's famous for pizza, but it's the general store's car. So give him credit for the Cheetos. Give him credit for the fountain drinks. Everything.
We'll do that. All right. Thanks, Rob.
Peace.
Enjoy your hibernation.
Thanks. I'll head back into it.
Hopefully it doesn't get interrupted over the weekend.
At some point, it will be to a degree, I know.
It's the nature of the beast.
Sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we'll be back. We got the FAWcast coming up tomorrow. God knows what Mark Charter has planned, and we'll talk to you later. Thanks.
Ciao.